30 May 1893. From Deputy Abdullah Atham. I have some objections to your style of answering. You have replied that the concept of mercy without recompense depends wholly on proof of the divinity of Jesus, the proof of which you have not provided. I state from my side, what proof do you desire from me? I have already stated that we do not regard that Jesus, who was a creature and a physical being, to be Allah, but rather we say he was a manifestation of Allah. And for this, there are two facts that need to be proven. Number one, is this possible? And number two, did it actually occur? We prove the possibility with logical arguments and the occurrence from the Word of God. So it should be made clear to us what more it is that you want. Regarding the possibility of this, we had stated, does God not have the power to answer from this pillar that is made of earth and bricks? What can prevent God from doing this? That is to say, what attribute of God is contradicted by this? This was your responsibility to show us, and it still has not been done. Just like the example of a pillar that I have presented, similarly, it is possible for him to manifest himself among his creations. And regarding its occurrence, I have already presented some verses. If you do not accept the book to be revealed, then that is another matter. And if we have given any wrong references, then you can hold it against us. But to say that these writings are from a revealed book and then simply ignore the references by saying they are nothing is not right. Second, you inquired whether the Messiah had two souls or just one, and how is it possible for one being to have two souls? My answer to this is that in the holy man, Jesus, there was wholly one soul. But God Almighty in his being is limitless and is present everywhere inside and outside. And the meaning of manifestation of God is simply that he should manifest himself in some particular place in some way. So where in this is there any indication for the need of a second soul to be present in the body of Jesus? And where is there any indication from this of him being devoid of God? This is a logical matter that does not need any book. Why do you hesitate to understand this issue? Third, the statement you make regarding the pull of weight as it relates to the absolutely subtle being, it appears from it that you ascribe density to God, and we do not believe the being of God to be dense. So how could there be weight associated with God? For weight has to do with pull of gravity, and pull is related to density. You have not understood our argument about multiplicity in unity. We do not divide the essence of the Godhead, nor do we consider the persons of the Godhead to be a mix of one another. The case of our multiplicity in unity is like unto the manner in which the attribute of incomparability issues forth from limitlessness, and its issuing forth creates no impact in space or time. But in a certain sense, they both remain one, and in another sense, they become many. In the same way, the first person in the three persons of the Godhead exists in himself, and the other two persons apart from it are inseparable from it. How can you separate the weight of the three persons of the Godhead into three different places? What relation does the absolutely subtle being have to weight? We call that being the absolutely subtle being, who is perfectly the opposite of that which is dense, and not just some being that is relatively more subtle than another. For example, water when compared to dirt, or air as compared to water, or fire as compared to air. These are all examples of one being relatively subtler than the other. Yet, they are all dense things. You declare the statements from the Word of God to be mere claims and ask for arguments by way of proof for them. From this, it seems that you are either wavering regarding belief in the Word of God or do not believe in it at all. Once this is settled, then we will reply to this also. Fourth, The argument which you gave for mercy without recompense is that it is the practice of God that just as He shows mercy without any recompense, similarly, He shows His wrath without any recompense. Thus, many innocent animals are killed. Some die for the sustenance of others, and some for other reasons. The answer to all these complaints lies in the suffering, and in my opinion, sufferings are of three kinds. Firstly, that which is by way of punishment. Secondly, that which serves to perfect one's appreciation of ease. And thirdly, that which comes as a test. Think how wrong you are when you conclude from the sufferings of beasts that this is wrath without any recompense or any apparent reason. You have not only included three different sufferings in one punishment, but also you stated that anger and mercy could also be shown without any reason. If we accept this, then the divinity of God will become the darkness of atheism. Fifth, Lord Jesus did certainly say that you should continue to forgive the sins which are committed against you, and do not retaliate. But the Gospels also say not to take any vengeance because God says that vengeance is my work. And although there may be many different types of sin, the true sin is that which goes against God. God says not to retaliate, and that if it is necessary, then He will certainly take vengeance. So what is against the teachings of atonement in this? The one against whom sin is committed has not appointed everybody the avenger and judge of these sins. Sixth, the court of justice in this world is not the true court of justice. It is just the name of a mere administrative system because it does not make any recompense but causes crimes to decline steadily. Similarly, worldly intercession is not the name of real intercession, but it is a name of some respite of time because God has full power to stop and eliminate the sinner in this very world. However, at the request of His beloveds, He grants them respite to seek forgiveness. We have answered the issue of the intercessors who have no authoritative role. Nevertheless, with the permission of God, man can be granted respite, time, so that he may seek forgiveness. According to us, there are only two types of responsibilities, but there is really only one type. As Prophet David said, "I have sinned against you alone." Therefore, the sins regarding the rights of mankind have come in this, but what you refer to as innate sin, perhaps what you mean by this is inherited sin. We mean by inherited sin that by Adam falling into sin, the trials of mankind became hardest still, so that pain developed in the body and death became fearful. In this manner, this is regarded as a sin of Adam. Otherwise, as you referred to Prophet Ezekiel, it is true that whichever soul sins will die. The progeny does not taste the bitterness of the grapes which their forefathers ate. Seventh, the plan that you find disgusting, that one should commit a sin and another should suffer the punishment, the answer to it is that even in the world, the debt of one can be discharged by another through the use of his wealth. But yes, a sinner cannot bear the weight of the sin of another because he is not free from his sins, and one who is already in debt cannot become a guarantor for the debt of another person. So wherefrom is this disgust regarding the atonement offered by Jesus, who was not a sinner and was rich with the treasure of salvation which he had created by his atonement? Eighth, from this example, God Almighty has shown us that trials of efforts which ended with one mistake and were not given respite for forgiveness were postponed due to the atonement of Christ, and instead, tests of faith were established with more time to seek forgiveness. Therefore, even those who are accepted by God Almighty are not acquitted from the tests of faith in this life. But the end is near, and when that day comes, man will see complete salvation. For the present, he just experiences the tranquility that a person feels who is waiting for crown and throne upon fulfillment of a promise made by a truthful one. You stated that you should be shown such a person who has gained salvation. it seems as though you consider salvation to be like a clod of earth that can be seen by the naked eye. This is not the reality of tranquility. It is actually, as the parable says, a new bridegroom cannot fully explain the pleasure of the first night, but holds it very dear. Ninth, as for your constant insistence that we should show miracles as required by the verses of the Gospels, we have repeatedly shown the true explanations of those verses. If you continue to repeat this question and cannot show our explanations to be incorrect and flawed, then all I can say is that the fair-minded persons will see clearly in front of whose door justice is being denied. Now our question is just where we left it, and that is, mercy without recompense is not permissible at all. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President representing Christians. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President representing Muslims.